The 548th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today.
Hi ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 548, going to Neri D. I don't know if I'm saying your name correctly, but one of our new friends in the Discord. If you're not in the Discord already, make sure you hop in there. Say hi to us, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. It's one of our no UFC, no problem events. We've got Octagon 56 to cover this week. Octagon is one of our favorite promotions to cover, and the odds usually come up pretty early on Octagon, so we got you covered there for this weekend's Octagon event. Yesterday's episode was all about Cage Wars, which is basically happening at the same time, so you're gonna have some multi-screen action going on Saturday. So like I said, no UFC, no problem, and mostly it's no problem because the regional MMA picking god is with us here. It'll be the one and only Daniel Gumby-Vreeland. Hello.
I would say Octagon tends to be one of the trickier ones, especially as they keep getting deeper and deeper with talent here. Because as you'll see in the main event, we got a Cage Warriors veteran showing up into the main event to fight for the title in his first fight in the organization. We also got a PFL import who left the PFL after pissing hot, as those in the PFL tend to do. So we got to convert there. So like it's been a little bit tricky because they seem to be alluring a lot of talent. Like a lot of people seem to be going over to Octagon. I don't know necessarily if it's like them saying, well, the UFC isn't going to sign me, Octagon's the next best option, or if it's like this is a KSW-esque promotion who's taking care of their fighters.
It seems to be right up there now with KSW in that region. Seems to be the place to go, and they must pay their fighters pretty decent, because you're going to hear some names that you've probably heard before when we break it down this year episode. So we're doing five fights. Gummy's picked the five fights. We're doing six fights. Yes, six. We're doing the full main card, and then as we have been doing recently, one of our viewers/listeners suggests we do a lightning round, and Gummy can just rip through any other fights on the card that he's interested in. We shall do that at the end of this episode as well. So how is this fight card in terms of Octagon standards?
I mean, it's exciting, if nothing else. We're getting the fight from the TipSport Game Changer that we were supposed to get last month, where there was a backstage assault. And as a result, the fight never happened. So that's like an exciting one to happen. And then there's two prospects in particular without very deep records that I'm just really excited to see. Plus, Sam Creasy is a guy in the main event who I thought the UFC might be interested in at some point in time. This seems to signal that he's happy elsewhere. And sort of see him jump right into a title fight against an already pretty good champion in Aaron Abbey. Like I think this one's pretty exciting top to bottom.
Fantastic. Well, let's jump into it after I tell you about our friends at Old Fashioned Football Podcast. As you would have heard off the top, we have another big giveaway going on right now. The NFL draft is just around the corner, and Old Fashioned Football is giving away some autographed merch to celebrate. JSN, which is who, Gumby?
It's Jackson Smith Najibba. He's a wide receiver for the Seahawks.
There you go. Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins. Isn't that who wrote Harry Potter? J.K. Dobbins?
Yes, J.K. Dobbins is the author of Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Frank Gore and many more. Old Fashioned Football, come for the football, stay for the whiskey. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/off contest. That's O-F-F contest. All right. We are breaking out Octagon 56. Gumby give you a little preview of it. Now we'll jump right into it. Abbey versus Creasy is the subtitle of this here event. It's going down this Saturday in Birmingham, England. So Cage Warriors actually is leaving England to go to Scotland, and Octagon is coming and invading their turf. So they're going to be in Birmingham at the Resorts World Arena. 13 fights on the card this Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern time is when it is happening. We will break down the full main card here, and then we'll see if Gumby's interested in any of the other 7 fights that are going on. So this is a lightweight fight that we're going to kick off with George Staines from England versus Tomas Sigenik from the Slovak Republic. We'll see how much Gumby can really tell you about these guys, because they barely fought. Sigenik is 1-1. This is his Octagon debut. Lost his last fight. That was back in February 2023. 0-1 is a kickboxer, plus 275. Staines, Star Killer, is the nickname. 1-0 with one submission. That fight was an Octagon, minus 400. You can't have much intel on these guys, Gumby.
So first of all, the numbers come down on Staines, which I don't think is right. It was negative 550 this morning. So that's kind of surprising to me. No, I know a lot about George Staines. Like, he is
really
as legit of a prospect as they come. So you remember last episode when we did the lightning round and I talked about a Ewan Davies? Ewan Davies, yeah. Guy who's only 4-0, has like 6 amateur fights, 7 amateur fights. I was like, oh, hey, he's way more experienced than his record says. George Staines is 1-0, right? 1-0 and somehow has made his way to an Octagon main card. That's because he's 16-1 as an amateur, fighting through the IMMAF ranks, which is not an easy type of ranks to get through, right? That is a guy who has fought really high-level competition, given the fact that he's a 1-0 pro, and he's looked phenomenal doing it. The things I really like about him are, first of all, his wrestling game is pretty good, but what I like better than his wrestling game is how he gets there. He has really exceptional footwork. He backs his opponents right up to the cage, and then he lets go with like a 3 or 4 piece combo. He likes to hit one of the ribs and then come back up top for 2 to the top. It is a really great skill set in terms of striking. I really think this guy can probably be... Look, put it this way. If you gave him 4 or 5 fights in Octagon, possibly won the belt, I could see him jumping ship and going in like competing at a PFL lightweight tournament, right? Like, I don't think he's there yet, but like, I think all of the tools there and all the pieces are there for Staines to be that guy. Like, I think he's going to be that guy. And like I said, once he hits you with that like 3 or 4 piece combo, he gets down on the legs, he puts you on your back, and he's got good sub skills and good positioning. So I like everything about this Staines guy. I'm going to be honest with you about Tomas Sigenik. I really think they bring him on in this fight to lose. Right, like they needed somebody for Staines to showcase here. And if you watch his last fight, you know, he just gets taken down almost without effort in the first minute of the fight. And I think that's enough to know that, like, that's what Staines can do if he doesn't like what he's seeing on the feet. Well, he's going to like what he sees on the feet, and he's going to piece him up there. So look for this to be an absolute showcase for Staines here. Negative 400 isn't high enough. When I was going to say that about it when I thought it was negative 550, but the fact that it's come down, it's not high enough.
Boy, Gumby's been really diving into the Tapology for that breakdown. You got a lot of info on those guys out of that Tapology report. Amazing.
Only Tapology here. We don't watch film, look at styles or anything like that here. Nope. It's just, have you seen, I'm not throwing shade at other guys for a second, but can I throw it for 2 seconds? Have you seen the guys who just like film themselves scrolling through Tapology?
Oh, like, no, I haven't.
It's on. There are people like that on YouTube. I had never seen it before, but it came up in one of our recommended videos underneath one of ours. And I was like, is he just scrolling through Tapology? Fantastic.
Wow. That people, but do they get views? That's the thing.
I probably. There's an audience for everything.
Boy, we need to get a lot more views than those people, hopefully. So, or maybe that's the way to go. Maybe,
we need to scroll some websites.
Exactly. We need to scroll some websites. All right. Let's scroll. I am actually using Tapology to break down these fights right now. So, we're going to scroll up to the next fight, which is welterweight. Andre Kalasnik, and he is from Czech Republic. And a lot of republics on this here fight card. He's fighting Liam Etibar from England. Kalasnik has his Tapology picture, a lot of medals around his neck, and a trophy in his hand. So I take it he's got a full mantle of some sort. So let's break down Etibar first, though. 8-3, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-1 in Octagon. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he had won 8 straight. used to fight at middleweight. This is welterweight. 2009 pro MMA debut plus 150. Kolesnik, AK-47 is the nickname. He's 10-5, four knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out three times. 6-4 in Octagon. He's lost two straight before that. 0-2 and 1-3, actually, is what I'm trying to tell you. He's lost two straight, and then he's only won one of his last four. Got TKO'd in his last fight. Used to fight at lightweight, minus 200.
I'm going to Etabar here just because Kolesnik stole Andre Karolinko's nickname.
That's the real reason? Wow.
No, not the real reason. Although shout out Andre Karolinko, as long as he hasn't somehow become problematic since he's retired. The real reason I'm going to take Etabar here is I think Kolesnik is faster. I do like the jab he throws. I think he's a touch faster. He's got some good power. He really clocked who's the green mask, the guy who was in the UFC, Nicholas Stolza. He tagged Nicholas Stolza pretty good in his last fight. But the problem I have is when he didn't like what he saw in the feet from Stolza, he shot a takedown and didn't get it on Nicholas Stolza, which tells me a couple of things. First of all, he's not all that confident in his hands. And then B, the wrestling isn't really an option on the backup, because if you're not taking down Nicholas Stolza, who notoriously has been kind of a kickboxer and nothing else, you don't really have that as a backup plan. And with Etabar, like I said, I think he's slower than Kolesnik, but I really like him from a technical standpoint, right? His takedowns maybe a touch slower in the shot, but the way that he adjusts them, the way he cuts the angles to finish them, they're better. From a striking standpoint, again, he's going to be a little bit slower, but I like the way that he defends his chin better. I also really like the way he counters. He fought Amiron Gogoladze, who was coming off of Contender Series. Remember, he's the one who like weirdly dislocated his shoulder when he fought Darius Flowers. Yeah, Darius Flowers, taking credit for dislocating Gogoladze's shoulder.
Yeah.
Etabar lost to Gogoladze, but I really did like the way he was countering him on the feet. It gave me a lot of promise for where his game is at and what he's able to do while being a little bit slower. So I think he's going to be slower and maybe a touch less athletic than Kolesnik in this, but I think all of the like technical ways he approaches the fight are going to be a lot better. So I like Etabar here. Plus 150 seems like a good price to just like trust the guy who's got slightly better skills.
All right. Works for me. Let's move on up some weight classes and up the fight card. We're going to light heavyweight. Daniel Skvor, from one of the republics, Czech Republic. He's fighting Will Fleury from Ireland. 3 5-minute rounds, 205. We're going to tell you about Skvor first. DD is the nickname. He was one in the Ramones, apparently. He's 7-3, four knockouts, one submission. But knocked out once, submitted twice. 6-3 in Octagon. He's won two straight. Before that, he lost two straight. 2-3 as a kickboxer. He was a champion in that realm. Plus 150. Fleury, 11-3 with one no contest. Two knockouts, three submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his Octagon debut. 4-0 with one no contest over his last five. The no contest was from his last fight, which he won, but then got popped for a drug test failure because PFL. 1-0 with one no contest in PFL. Last loss, June 20th. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at middleweight. 4-2 in Bellator. 1-0 with one no contest on Tough. 1-inch height over Skvor, minus 200.
It is really interesting what PFL like allowed people back into the organization.
Yeah.
Like Rob Wilkinson, sign me back up and give me an easy matchup in my first fight.
Yeah.
Will Fleury hit the road. I'm going to tell Will Fleury to hit the road again here, too. I'm going to go back-to-back plus 150 dogs with Skvor. First of all, Skvor, real big, tall guy. Not that Fleury isn't, right? Like, he's like 6'3 in his own right. But I think this is going to be the first time we'll see Fleury at a height disadvantage in kind of a long time. You know, in his last fight, it was really kind of like a grind-him-out fight against Christoph Jocko. He shot a lot of takedowns and worked a lot in the clinch, but really didn't get anywhere with it. You know how PFL does that really annoying thing where they try to like AI score the fight?
Yes.
The AI scored that fight a draw with Jocko, and I think it was just because there was like no data input for like just grinding against the cage and failed takedowns. Yeah. So like I think for me, that's a really bad sign because Christoph Jocko is not a light heavyweight. Christoph Jocko is a middleweight and has been a middleweight his whole career. So to see a guy who was jacked up on steroids fail to like out-muscle a middleweight is kind of problematic, especially when you consider now he's going to be fighting Skvore, who's a really big guy. As you mentioned, he uses his range really well. Lots of push kicks, step knees, things like that. So, like, if Will Fleury is going to keep looking for takedowns and keep looking for that kind of stuff, I think he's going to eat knees on the way in. I also think he's going to have trouble closing the distance with all the push kicks. He doesn't strike me as the type of guy who's going to kick or catch a lot of those kicks and turn them into takedowns. I think Skvore is going to have a pretty easy time picking him apart from distance. And I also think the success that Fleury is going to have, which will probably be in the clinch or shooting takedowns, I don't think he can do enough damage in those spaces to make up for what it's going to look like on the feet. I think on the feet, it's going to look like one-way traffic for Skvore. And I think it's going to be hard for Fleury to sort of overturn that. Now, he could come in here and box. He could come in here and look fine. He could also come in here deflated, having not been able to take steroids for a minute. but like, all of those are, for me, reasons why you probably go with the dog here in Skvore.
All right. Can't take steroids for a bit. All right. Skvore is the pick. You know what else is the pick? The pick would be Underdog Fantasy. We love Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here. We love the NBA playoffs as well. And our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing the pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats, like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball, or you can even mix sports. Put some UFC, some basketball together, or some tennis, whatever you want. You mix and match across your other favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Even more fun if you win 100 times your money. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada, where I am currently. So make sure you check out Underdog Fantasy. Gumby and I are on there every day. Helps us prep our articles for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. But you check it out. They got every sport on there as you speak. Lots of different promos, all that type of stuff. And speaking of promos, they currently have a pick 'em special for Friday's play-in game, which is this coming Friday, the 19th, so tomorrow. Make sure you check that out. Special should go live in the lobby for eligible new customers to sign up by the morning of now, as of right now, actually, Thursday the 18th. The special should be up there. So get in there, check it out. Make sure you sign up with our code MMASGPN, and our Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN. All right. We're going up, actually down, but up the card. 150 pounds, Shamrock. There's a great name. He is from the United Kingdom. He is fighting Stefano Catacoli. You would say, oh, he must be from Italy. No, at least not according to his flag. He's from England. All right, all right. Let's break down this fight. 150-pound catchweight fight. Catacoli, the ghost, is the nickname. 7-1 with two submissions. He's been submitted one time. 1-0 in octagon. He's gone 3-0 over his last three. Has not lost since April of 2022. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. What else can I tell you about him? Used to fight at 145 and 155. 6 years younger than Rock, plus 300. Rock, 9-1-1. Two knockouts, seven submissions. He's been knocked out one time. 1-0-1 in the octagon. 3-0-1 over his last four. Won his last fight via submission. Has not lost since October 2021. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Get sticky with us. What else can I tell you about Rock? He just like Catacoli, he's fight at lightweight and featherweight. He's at minus 450. So another big, big favorite here.
Yeah, you said 450 now?
450 is what I saw today.
Yep. Money rolled in on him then. I'm making a little adjustment on my little sheet here. I'm going with Shamrock. I think Octagon really likes the marketing potential of this guy. He's a friend of Meatball Molly and Patty Pimblett. Yep. He trains with both of those guys, and he's really exciting to watch. Left-handed fighter, loads up that back left leg a lot for strikes, whether it is sometimes it's like one of those like whipping low calf kicks. But sometimes he throws like kind of like a stabbing left kick to the body. It's like he's trying to get up under the rib cage. He'll go up top with it too, but he's way more effective with it to the body and the legs. He's really strong. He's really fast. His counters are really good. And he's fighting a guy in Catacoli who, you know, not to diminish him down to one trait or one quality, But this is a guy who, when he decides to come forward and throw, forgets to play defense. His chin's up in the air. His hands don't come back to his chin fast enough. You know, like, his body's seemingly open for counters there. I think he's going to eat, like, kicks to the body as he moves in, first of all. And then, even then, like, just like a strong left-hand counter, like a rear left counter from Shamrock, I think will just put him to sleep. So, Caticoli, not that he doesn't have things that you could get excited about, but there's a reason he was, you know, negative 300 this morning and negative 450 this afternoon. And it's just that, like, Shem is very powerful. The marketing machine is behind him for a reason. And they seemingly have, like, handpicked him a fighter here that I think they think he can run through. So, yeah, give me Shamrock here. Don't like that number as it continues to balloon up. But, like, there's also no reason to think he's not going to win. So, give me Shamrock. Maybe look for KO props if somebody offers them.
All right. There you go. The line will jump up even more after people have heard this. So, make sure you get in there right away if you want to get in on that line. All right. We're going to the co-main event. This is for the tip. What is it? Game changer tip sport?
Tip sport game changer
tournament. Basically, it
it's the first round, the last
round, of the light, first round, lightweight tournament. And it's like something like what, 1.5 million we figured out it works out to in American money or something like that.
It's a
like
million, that. It's a million euro, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and but that's for the whole tournament,
right?
So, like, yeah, each fight is worth a different level of that paycheck. Yeah.
Yep. We broke this fight down originally, right? And then it fell off last minute, right?
Yep. Yep. Siraj, his cornerman, assaulted Echo and Wanless's backstage right before the fight started. Yeah.
Yeah. So this this has got some intrigue heading into it. Echo and Wanless, Sahil Siraj, 3 5-minute rounds. First round, round of 16. Yeah. So quarterfinals of this game changer tournament. It would be a life changer, I'm sure, if either of these guys could win that massive prize. All right, Siraj, 9-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. This is his debut fight. He's won 2 straight and 4 of 5. Went 1-0 in cage warriors. He's 3 years younger than Wanless, +110. Wanless Jedi, but just spelt with, instead of an E, it's a 3. I remember we talked about that before. He's 7-2, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's finished everyone. Never been finished himself. 1-0 with 1 no contest in Octagon. The last fight was a no contest for him. Has not lost since September 2020. Was regional champion. 2-1 in Bellator. 3 inches taller. 4 inches reach over Siraj. -150. Is that, what were the odds originally? Do you remember the first matchup?
-150 Siraj.
Oh, it's swap. Well, he doesn't have his coaches now, right? They're banned.
I don't know if that's worth that kind of flip.
Yeah.
But I will tell you. So I went back and listened to the breakdown that we did, episode 513. If you want a more extensive breakdown, I feel pretty much the exact same way as we did back then. I took Wanless then as an underdog, and I'm going to take him now as a favorite anyway, because it's not wide enough. I am less excited than when it was like, you know, it was like +135 on him the first time, or +130 the first time. Now you're going to get -150. But first of all, I think he's in Siraj's head. I think that's going to mess with Siraj. I think him not having coaches does matter. He was also seemingly in his head before his cornerman assaulted him. He brought out a lightsaber at weigh-ins.
Because he's a J3 die.
Yeah, he's the J3 die. and so he brought out the lightsaber and did a whole bunch of like weird force stuff. And like Siraj, like just, he looked so pissed off. Like he looked like he wanted to go fight him right then. And then his corner tried to fight him the next day before he actually got a chance to fight him. So I think all that stuff doesn't look good on Siraj. And also, you know, basically my breakdown the first time was Wanless is faster. Siraj does some really nice things, particularly a kick to the body and in the way he moves forward. However, the big weakness in Siraj is just that like anytime he moves backwards, it seems like his offense just melts away. And Wanless is a guy who doesn't take a step back. He's super aggressive. He's very confident in his striking and he's super long. So like when you add all those things together, I just think Wanless is a bad matchup for Siraj. I said this on the last time we broke it down too. I wish they didn't match these two up in the first round, because I genuinely think they would both be threats to the tournament later on if you let them fight, you know, like in the semifinals of the finals. So like maybe they both won't make it that far, but I like Wanless here. And I think his forward movement's going to be too much for Siraj.
All right. The Jedi is the pick here. All right. We're at our main event already. It is for a belt, which is always exciting. Octagon is vacant flyweight championship. So, of course, before I say anything else, I have to ask Gumby, why is it vacant?
Who did Aaron Abbey lose to?
I don't remember.
Damn, the guy lost to. All right, hang on. I'll put the intern on it. You go ahead and keep talking.
All right, so it's Aaron Abbey versus Sam Creasy. Five 5-minute rounds for the 125-pound crown in Octagon. We're going to tell you about Abbey first. 16-8-1, one knockout, six submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 1-1 in Octagon. 3-1 over his last four, did win his last fight. He used to fight up at a bantamweight, as most flyweights have done. 2-3 in Cage Warriors, 2013 pro MMA debut, 3 years younger than Creasy, plus 225. Creasy, URI is the nickname. URAI, 18-5, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. This is his debut in Octagon, excuse me. He's stepping right into a title fight. He's won 2 straight and 3 of 4. Won his last fight via submission. 13-5 in Cage Warriors. That's why I said Cage Warriors. Used to be the champion there 2 times over at flyweight. He did beat Abbey back in June of 2021. So this is a rematch. 2014 pro MMA debut. An inch taller than Abbey. -333. Now Gumby's going to tell you who's going to win, and he's going to tell you why it's a vacant title.
So Elias Garcia was the guy who beat Aaron Abbey that I was trying to remember to keep him from winning the title last time. I don't know why he's not defending because he hasn't had a fight since then. My only guess is maybe being a Rufus Sport guy, he's perhaps signed with one of those, like, you know, like something like Anthony Pettis fight to try to get himself into the UFC by being, you know, more marketable and in the U.S. and on Fight Pass. So that's my guess. What did you say the number one on Creasy was again?
Creasy and -333, a fun line.
Yeah. But not okay. That's pretty much what I had him at before. And I'm going to go with Creasy here too. The big piece for me is just, first of all, obviously the way he won the first time gives me confidence, but also Abby is just like so much slower than Creasy. And he's not good enough at defending the takedown that I have any like real confidence that he could like hang with Creasy for an extended period of time. Creasy's really tough when it comes to the grappling department. He also, like, for a guy who's a flyweight, he fights pretty long. And I like that when you're fighting a guy like Aaron Abbey, not letting him on the inside. I like his combinations. I really like how he ends his combinations with an uppercut. His uppercut's really nasty. So, like, even if Abbey is looking for his own takedowns, I think he's going to meet some things that he really doesn't like there. And again, like I said, his takedowns are just good enough that I think if he wants to, he takes Abbey to that realm and doesn't let him back up. I guess -333, maybe not the most tempting thing, especially for a guy fighting in an organization for the first time, but also it's like not like he's going to be far away from home either. Like, it's not like he's traveling a long way to get to this organization, being that they're coming to him. Yeah. So yeah, I think Creasy, maybe you just throw him in a parlay with Shamrock and let that ride. And maybe that's the best way to play that one.
Throw him in a parlay with Shamrock and let it ride. There you go. A lot of fun words said there. All right. That's a recap Gumby's picks that you get full breakdowns on. And then he'll let you get you some bonus picks in the lightning round. He's got Creasy as a pretty big favorite. Wanless as a slight favorite. Rock as a very big favorite. Skvore as a dog, which is nice. And Etabar as a dog, which is nice. And then Stains as a very big favorite. All right. So that is the 6-fight main card as we speak. But with this regional stuff, it seems to change immediately after we go off the air. But regardless,
Octagon's pretty stable. Octagon's okay, a lot good. More stable than Cage Warriors has been for us.
Good. And there's always the Discord. You can always chat in the Discord if something does change since we gave you the breakdown. All right, Gumby, anything else of interest on this card?
Yeah, there's three that stick out to me on these prelims that you might want to take a stab at. The first one is Amari Dietrich, -200. He's a kickboxer. I've been singing his praises for a while now. He's one of the biggest training partners of Leon Edwards, and he's kind of got that Leon Edwards style while also being like very physically strong. Like, he is an imposing character. So to see him at only -200, I think he's got a lot of potential there. Wojciechowski is fighting Nick Stanton. I'm seeing him right now at like +130. I think his wrestling game is good enough to like take it to Mick Stanton, despite the fact that, you know, like, Stan can wrestle a little bit in his own right, but I think Wojciechowski has got like a little bit of an advantage there. I don't know how that fight would look on the feet, being that like I don't know so much about Wojciechowski's striking, but I think he could out wrestle him. So like at plus 130, maybe worth a stab on the prelims. And then the last one is Jakub Donal. I saw him at like plus 170 earlier today. I like his striking enough to think he could pull off this upset too. And he's a guy who I just like throw my hat in the ring at. Pretty much anytime he fights, especially if you're getting him at near 2-1. So yeah, for my my prelim stabs here, I'm gonna take a Dietrich as a, you know, a sizable favorite, maybe somebody you mix in there with the Shamrock and Creasy. And then I like Wojciechowski and Donal.
All right, there you go. Octagon, all set for Octagon Saturday afternoon. So, like I said, split screen. You got Cage Wars, which we covered yesterday, starts at 11:30 Eastern AM, and then we got Octagon half hour later, it kicks off. So some split screen action on a Saturday. MMA never rests, even when the UFC does. All right, we don't rest either. That's our fifth episode in a row. We actually, right when I say we don't rest. Right when I say we do. We're going to rest for a couple of days. We're going to be back on Sunday. Actually, we haven't gone through this UFC card yet. That's Sunday will be we don't have to go through the UFC yet. Sunday will be, what will Sunday be? Do we know yet? Maybe we'll leave it up in the air. We'll figure it out.
There's some pretty good regional action coming next week, if I'm not mistaken, right? Is there an LFA next week? Is that when I think we have back-to-back weeks with LFA. I know they're in Brazil the day before Brazil, because I may have just talked to a Brazilian fighter about having some of his teammates on that card.
LFA 182 in Sioux Falls, South Dakota is going down.
Oh, yeah. The 26th.
Yeah. McKee versus Fernandez.
Okay, yeah. I haven't taken a peek at that card yet, but no. I'm always down for some LFA action. So we got some LFA stuff that we're going to tackle, and then maybe we'll dig around and see. I know PFL takes a break after this week, so we might have do some digging to find some other shows. But
We will.
We'll find some stuff for you. We always do.
And of course, we're always open to suggestions, you know, YouTube comments or in the Discord, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, I guess on Twitter. X Gumby still runs that for us. He's at SGPNMMA is where you can get us in there. You can get me at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. You can get Gumby on the Twitter at Gumby Vreeland. You can get Gumby's other podcast called the Top Turtle MMA Podcast in your ear holes. This week you can hear from a couple Austins. Austin with an E, Austin Lane, Austin with I, Austin. I want to say Lingo always, but it's not. It's Austin
Hubbard.
Hubbard, right. Yes, Thud, that's right. Good stories about Tough and whatnot from that gentleman, so make sure you listen to that. Tough is catnip to Gumby, so maybe it is to you as well. And make sure, obviously, you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, check out all our writing and discounts, giveaways, contests, everything is there. So go to the mothership. Check out our store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, so you can dress cool like Gumby and myself. Maybe even find something that's sticky in there. Who's to say? And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon as well. So you can help us crush corporate gambling. And, of course, our YouTube. Please make sure you subscribe there, as Gumby said. Even if you don't want to watch us there, turn off notifications. Just subscribe. It's all about – it's a numbers game, all right? Life is a numbers game. All right, Gumby criticized off air the nicknames I used last time on the sign off, so he's going to do the sign off today.
All right, I'm Dana Gibby Freeland. He's J3 Die Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.